I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Box is a small village in southwest England. Just over 3,000 people live there. It may be a tiny village, but musicians from around the globe go there to play. They often arrive with an invitation to record at a place called Real World Studios. The owner and resident musician is Peter Gabriel. He's produced a new album called Big Blue Ball. It features many of his guests, as well as himself. It's my own thing. He's always to inspire you. One that I love, I dream beside. One that I love, I dream beside. One that I love as close as I can. That's Peter Gabriel singing on the track Whole Thing. Big Blue Ball is a project that Gabriel nursed along for over a decade. The music was recorded during a series of impromptu jam sessions at Real World Studios. Gabriel says each time the goal was to make his musical guests comfortable.
I think people relax in the countryside. And for me, to be by running water has always been important, because I think the reflections of light, you know, playing on the surface of the water, there's always movement there. We try and make it quite homely, the environment, you know, rather than cool or trendy, so that people just feel free to relax. Because ultimately, the studio is about capturing performance. You know we can get the capturing side right. We've got the technology and the people to do it. But the performance is always the thing that you have to work hard at creating the optimum situation to enhance, and that may involve getting the food right, the environment, just communicating well with people. It's a subtler process than most people imagine.
I'd really like to get a clearer sense of how these sessions kind of proceeded. You've got this gorgeous studio in the English countryside. Artists come and go over the course of several weeks in the early 90s. You know, I'm really drawn to, for example, the session with Papa Wemba from Congo and the flamenco guitarist Juan Canizares, two artists from fairly different backgrounds. What happened in the studio when they came in?
Well, I think Juan, even though he's a flamenco player, it's very much like a classical musician. You know, he's an extraordinarily able player, beautiful player, but it's very disciplined music in a lot of ways. And Papa Wemba, I think, you know, as is often the case with African musicians, is very comfortable just improvising and responding to whatever situation they found himself. But once, I think, Juan had opened up, and there was, I think, a bit of that process for all of us, then people relaxed. And, you know, I think however talented these people are, you know, we're all individuals and we arrive in a situation with nervousness, thinking, you know, are we going to be able to deliver something that people will like or it works? And there's all of that. But I think that process disappeared very quickly in these sessions, because people realized it was just about experimenting and trying to build and write stuff together. I know some artists have a clear vision in their head and go towards it, but that's certainly not the way I've ever managed to operate, and that certainly wasn't the way we operated here. It was respond to things as you hear and feel them.
Was there any conflict ever?
Very little conflict. Surprisingly little conflict. And I think, you know, in a way, because this was free time, it was sort of like out of school, if you like. None of us were really in our professional modes. It was just more childlike, I think, just play.
Hello. is your take on the phrase world music? I mean, it began as a marketing term to drive customers to that special part of the record shop where they knew they'd be able to find music from around the globe. A lot of people feel it's kind of a condescending term.
Well, I think, you know, it's a slightly more comfortable ghetto in a way. And you really want artists to be able to transcend any of those labels and be recognized and heard for their work, regardless of where they were born or what language they speak. And we're not there yet.
Final question, Peter. What are your concerns about music in a post-9/11 world? I mean, foreign artists have had trouble coming to the U.S. and the U.K. because of visa issues. And I would think that this goes precisely against the kind of world, both musical and otherwise, that you've envisioned.
Well, I think, yeah, for all of us from the beginning, it was trying to be a way to open up the world. And I, for one, would be very sad if people stopped traveling, because I think when you actually go into someone else's home and you meet them face to face, you respond differently and you feel differently about them and their situation than you do when you're just reading about it or watching it on television or online. And it's music and culture is really important. I think it's because the music plugs directly into the nervous system, whereas a lot of other arts go through the eyes and the brain in a different way and get filtered a little more extensively. As smell and sound, I think, make you feel things instinctively and intuitively without a lot of brain filtering.
Well, let's go out on a track from Big Blue Ball, and I'll let you pick it, Peter Gabriel. What's it going to be, and why do you think it's a good parting shot?
I actually makes me think that. Well, maybe, I mean, I was going to say Habibi, but I think I'll go for Forest because it's got Hukwe Zawasi, who sadly we lost a couple of years back. And his voice, I think, is extraordinary. He's a wonderful musician.
The album is called Big Blue Ball. Peter Gabriel, very good to speak with you indeed. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Marco.
You can take a tour of Peter Gabriel's Real World Studios at theworld.org. Our program comes to you from the Nan and Bill Harris Studios at WGBH. I'm Marco Werman. Join us again tomorrow.